It's good to see you tonight in the house of the Lord. We're glad you're here, and we certainly welcome you again and all the folks who are viewing our service on the internet tonight. I'm happy that Brother Alan was joining us now in with his instrument, his saxophone he's playing, and we encourage any others who have any musical talents, if you want to bring your instrument up and join in and play in the evening service, you'd be most welcome to do that. You don't have to be a super professional, and you want the hymns beforehand, we'll make sure we email them to you, and you can warm up a little bit and prepare yourself for that. But it's good to be able to praise God as we come into his house tonight. Perhaps you've noticed that Azarina and Femi have not been with us for the last couple of Lord's days. Well, I called Femi last week, and he said that Azarina has had pneumonia, and she's been off for a while. And so I was surprised. We did not know about that, and we want to pray for them. So please remember this young married couple. The Lord would bless and draw near to them at this time. And it's difficult for Azarina, being in a new country and being in now a little bit of a cold spell that we've had. Not so unusual for those of us who are from our land, but strangers and visitors, it's a bit of a shock. Anyways, remember, please, these ones in prayer. Turn with me now tonight in your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. Book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. Thank you each one for your thoughtfulness and your prayers as I'm laboring through a bit of a cold that has come on me this last while. It's been sort of hanging around a bit, and it seemed to get a bit worse. And I appreciate your prayers, and you have to put up with my raspy voice tonight. And I'm still unclean, so I won't be shaking your hand when you go out tonight. I'll just be holding my hands behind my back, or else we'll do the elbow thing, when you just bump elbows instead of shaking hands. And but thank you for your prayers. 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, we're going to read the first 8 verses. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. And when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. A nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight, please. Let's bow in prayer. Dear God, Our loving Father, we are thankful for the evening service, a time we can come again to thy house and open our hearts in thanksgiving and praise, and Lord, to spend time before the Word. And we ask that this time would not be wasted, would not fall upon deaf ears. I pray, dear Father, that the Holy Spirit will take the Word and write it upon all our hearts. And we mean by that, Lord, that we will not be those who just hear and then soon forget, like water poured into a bucket with holes. Rather, dear Father, we would be as those who take the Word into our souls, and we mix the Word with faith so that we might grow thereby, so that we may be more conformed to the glorious and beautiful image and person of our Redeemer. Lord, we have been called to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Lord, we cannot possibly get to the depth of such a subject. And yet, O God, we have been commissioned to do it. And the Word gives us so much. Help us, therefore, to be delving into the Scriptures with our hearts and minds open. Lord, help us where needful to put down the computer, to put down the phone, to put down the remote, and to pick up the Word. And O God, teach us what that means, that we will be instructed, we will learn, we will grow. Dear Father, hear our prayers now tonight and write this Word upon our souls. We ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. What do you think is the greatest need that this congregation has? What do you think is the greatest need that you have as an individual Christian? Believer, I suggest to you that there is no greater need that you and I have tonight, but that we know the power of the Holy Spirit in us, not just day by day, but moment by moment. I need to know God's Spirit leading me. I need to know the mind of Christ being made true, certain, unmistakable in my daily walk. I need to seek God with all my understanding. Because if I do that, God has promised in His Word that He will hear this prayer. Believer, let's not make a mistake about this. We can have a lot of things in our life. We can have a lot of knowledge. We read today from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about a lot of things that we can have as Christians, and yet we can have a missing component. And the love that we need to have in our hearts is not a love that we are going to see self-motivated. It is a love that will come to us by the Holy Spirit empowering, living within our very being. That is what we need. That is what this congregation needs. We need to see the Lord come with power, moving from every pew, moving in every heart. We long to see multiplication of people. We desire to see souls born again of the Spirit of God. We long to see people not only converted and saved by God's grace, but being brought into the house of prayer so that there would be a building up, a nurturing in the things of Christ. And that building up and nurturing, once a person is saved, will be by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Believer, that's what we need more than anything. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know full well that when a person is saved, the Holy Spirit lives within our hearts. He comes to abide with us as the Comforter, the Holy Paraclete, the one whom Christ has sent into this world, and as the Father and the Son have sent the Spirit, so the Holy Spirit will make Jesus Christ known unto us. And so the more of the Spirit that we have, the more of Christ that we will have, the more of His mind we will have, the more we will be used of the Lord in our lives. That is my greatest need. That, believer, is your greatest need. That is this church's greatest need. That is our denomination's greatest need, for a mighty outpouring of God's power in reviving. When was the last time that you prayed for God to revive your heart? When was the last time you prayed for God to revive this church? When was the last time you prayed for God's Spirit to revive in this denomination? Ah, believer, we can get very lazy. We can get very cloistered in our thinking. We can become so narrow in our view. And I pray that the Lord will take this word tonight and expand our horizon, and He will help us, that we will enter in to this situation that Asa found himself in, and the words that were spoken by the prophet, and then how he responded. You see, Asa was the king of Judah, and he was the fourth generation from King David. The kingdom of Israel, it had been divided into the northern and southern parts. And there were 10 northern tribes and 2 southern tribes. And the 2 southern ones, Judah and Benjamin, they centered in Jerusalem. Whereas the northern tribes, they centered their capital in Samaria. Asa became the king of Judah, and the Lord gave him peace. And we are told that he built and he prospered. What a blessing when God gives peace to a kingdom, when God gives peace to a church, and there is a time of building and prospering and growing. Oh, but Asa did not have long to wait until there was a time of testing. There was a time of warfare, actually. And there was a great attack by the Ethiopian army. And the striking words that Asa prayed unto the Lord when he was confronted with this enemy, they're found in the previous chapter. And it said, "It's nothing with thee to help, Lord, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude." What a word of faith did Asa have? He was outnumbered at least 2-1 by this army that was coming against him. And yet his faith and hope and deliverance was not in his military prowess. It wasn't with the strength of his people. It was in the Lord himself. And he said, "Lord, we are your people. This is your battle. If you want to save by many or few, it doesn't matter." Because he trusted in the God of heaven. And the Lord gave them a great victory and deliverance. And we are told that they carried away much spoil. back to Jerusalem. And it's here that we pick up our story and our message for tonight. Because when Asa was coming back, the Lord sent a prophet out to meet him. And the word that came to this triumphant king is found in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 2. It says, "And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." If I could put a title on the message tonight, it would be this: God does not play hide and seek. God does not play hide and seek. The Lord says to his people and to his servant, "If you seek me, I will be found of you." Are we seeking the Lord with our hearts and our souls tonight? Do you know what gives me confidence when I come to look at a word like this? It is to consider the source of the word itself. Now, it came from a prophet whose name was Azariah, but we know that the prophet was not making up this word. He was speaking the word that was given to him from God. So the source of this promise, it's from heaven. And my friend, when God makes a promise for us, let us not take it as if it is something that can be broken or set aside. This word and this name that the prophet Azariah had, it means helped by Jehovah. And so the prophet comes on the scene in history, a very brief appearance. And for what purpose? He comes to bring the word of God to a man, a king, at a specific time. And so here was a prophet at the right place, in the right time, with the right message. That's what I want to be. I want to be God's servant in the right place with the right message to the people of God. And what I desire to know is God's Spirit helping me and strengthening me and giving me that word so that it might be food for your soul, instruction for your heart. If need be, rebuke, because the word of God does all that for us. And if we have ears to hear, hearts to understand, we will be open to receive the word. And there won't be offense to that, because we will say, "Lord, it is your word and I want to hear it." Because I know that in hearing the word and in obeying that word, there will be help and blessing and prosperity in my life. Azariah was a man who was filled himself with the Spirit of God in order to deliver this message. He was a servant, an ambassador, to speak the word given by the Holy Spirit. He was a Spirit-filled man. And you know what we need today, brothers and sisters, that every man, that every woman, that every young person in this congregation needs to be filled with the Spirit of God to be God's messenger in the purpose and place that God wants us to be. And if you think you can just kind of come to church, warm a pew, go home again, friend, you're not thinking right. But rather to say, "Lord, I want to be that Spirit-filled Christian who will be useful, beneficial in the local body, so that I can encourage other people, that I can be a help, that I can be a reflection of the Savior to each other. Lord, that's what I want." That's what Azariah was. And as this man, as he served God in this way, he was willing. I ask you tonight, are you willing? Are you willing to ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit? Are you willing to ask the Lord to fill you so that you can be used? You know, friend, if you pray a prayer like that, you'll be surprised what happens. You might be surprised in some way that things are turned upside down. Yeah, that's right. That's how the Lord operates. When we come and get serious with God about these matters, the Lord gets serious with us. And so if we pray a prayer, Lord, fill me with your power, with your Spirit, because I want to be useful in your kingdom, then you be prepared for God to work. And He's going to start to upset things in your house. He's going to start to move the furniture around. And He's going to sometimes move some things out in order to move other things in. Are we prepared? Are we ready? This man, Azariah, was a man who was used in time to bring a message to the king. And the message that he had was a very urgent one, for he went out to meet him. And the interesting context here is that, of course, as Asa was coming back from battle to Jerusalem, and it was on a victory march, you could say, and he had tons of spoil with him. That was quite normal in those days, that the conquering armies would take all of the things that were left over from the army that had been destroyed. And as he's heading back, why did the prophet go out to meet him? Why didn't the prophet just wait until he came back to Jerusalem? Was it so urgent that he met him on the way? And when he went out to meet him, you can picture in your mind, you can see Asa marching with all of his armies coming back to the city of Jerusalem, and he's got all this stuff with him. And that's where he was met by the prophet. In the glory of his victory march. In the place where he had all of the things that, well, he had now received as a bounty. You see, friend, the Lord meets us at those times because there is a danger for us to be filled with pride when something good happens in our lives. You know, something prosperous, something bountiful or beneficial. And when that takes place, we have a tendency maybe to be built up with a bit of pride and thinking, hey, it's about because I did something good or because of my ability. The Lord sent the prophet to meet him as he was on his victory march, and when he had all of his spoils with him, and he wanted Asa to know, Asa, this is not about you. It's not about what you have accomplished. The Lord was giving him a reminder, the victory you just had over the Ethiopians, that was my power in your life. And I'm telling you that I am with you. That's the word and the message that the prophet was delivering from God. The Lord said to Asa, look, I am with you. Well, Asa would say, well, thank you. I know you're with me because you just gave me victory. But sometimes, friends, you and I have to face the reality of this, that we think that we have done something and accomplished it on our own when actually God is the one who does everything for us and who enables us by His Spirit dwelling within the child of God. We have to learn the lesson that Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And Asa needed to be reminded of that. And so, here is this man, and as he's coming back, and he is with all of his soldiers, what a lesson that was for the people who were with him at the time. Let us beware of the sin of pride. Let's beware of the sin of thinking that we are able and that we are good in ourselves. No, friend, just look into your heart and you'll get a good picture there of just how righteous or how good you really are. It's not a nice picture very often. It can be rather ugly. But we come to the Lord not standing on our own ability and not with all the much spoil that we may have in our lives and all the blessings that God has given to us. These things produce a false sense of security, don't they? And when people have much, and we are in a land of much, and we all have plenty, there is no one here that is starving for their food. No one here that goes likely a day without their meals. We are blessed with so much in our land. And the danger is for us in a materialist society is that we lose sight of the fact that we are so dependent upon the Lord for every single thing that we have. And that riches can take themselves wings and they can fly away. And things can turn upside down so quickly. And if you want an example of that, look at the life of Job. So fast, his life changed. And he went through a long period of time of the Lord proving him and trying him. So friends, let's be careful and be sure that we don't take confidence in things of a big bank account or anything else that we might have, big or small in that sense. Let's not depend on those things, but rather hear the word and the prophet, the message that was brought from him. What about the content of the message that the speaker brought to Asa? It was from the Lord. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. Jesus said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And what a blessed and precious promise that is of God's abiding presence with his people. And yet we know that this verse of Scripture, if ye seek him, he will be found of you, it is something more than just salvation. This is not a soul being saved. Asa was a righteous man. The Lord was telling him something more. There was something beyond that. And that something beyond is what I've said to you already. It was the need for the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of God in the life of this man, so that when the message came to him, if you seek me, God is saying, I will be found of you. God is not playing games. He does not play hide and seek. Believer, if you seek the Lord with your heart, he will be found of you. But what does it mean to seek the Lord? If you're to pray that prayer, what would that entail? Friend, if you're asking the Lord, if you're saying, Lord, I want to come and seek your face, you are praying first and foremost that I would know the power of the Spirit of God in my life. When you're praying to seek the face of God, you're saying, I want to know the mind of Christ in my life. I want to think the way Jesus Christ thinks. I want to think the thoughts of God. I want to walk in the pathway of the Lord. How sad it is in Isaiah we're told, God said to the people, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways not your ways. But I pray that we'll reverse that prayer so that we will say, as we come to seek God, I want to know, Lord, your ways clearly. I want to have direction in my life. Because as I pray for that, and I come to seek the Lord, yes, I'm praying for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for the mind of Christ. I'm praying for direction in my life. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to turn to the right hand, to the left. I don't want to be taken off into bypath meadow, as it says in Pilgrim's Progress. No, I don't want to go down there. It's a waste of time. I pray that God will keep us as a people in the center of his will. That's what it means when we are praying for the seeking of God and his mind. His spirit, his mind, direction. What about discernment? That is so important today for God's people. And I pray for discernment. You know what discernment is? It is wisdom in action. Discernment is wisdom in action. It is being able to know what is the Spirit of the Lord and to know how to judge a situation, and by His Spirit that is abiding in us, He gives us that sharp cutting discernment. Friends, if we are seeking God, that's what we are asking Him for. And believe me, as you pray that prayer, He will grant it to you, because the Lord is not playing games. He will keep His promise. God keeps His word. If ye seek Him, He will be found of you. It is His holy word. Jeremiah 29 and 13, which I spoke to you about a few weeks ago, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. See, it's in the same theme, the same idea. And whether it's the prophet Jeremiah or the prophet Azariah, or we come to Matthew 6:33, there is this theme that's running through the scripture. God wants His people to seek Him, because in seeking Him there is blessing that will follow. Oh, my friends, as we were going through our week of prayer, and each night, the theme, the idea that was developing out of that is that God responds to His people. God is a responding God. The Lord responds to the cries of His people. And as we were singing in that beautiful chorus, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Taken directly from the scripture itself. And that, believer, is where you and I need to lay hold upon God. And we need to seek Him with all our hearts. Because in seeking, we will find. And the Lord will make Himself known unto us. Is that not the greatest need that you and I have? His Spirit, His mind, His direction, His discernment. Yes, believer, this is what we are seeking Him for. And when God answers that prayer in every one of our lives individually, you wait and see what will happen. The Lord will increase. He will multiply you. He will bless you. You will see bounty. You will see things happen in your life you never thought could happen before. Even in the mundane things that will be turned into being the most amazing things that God will do. Yes, believer, we need to seek Him for the times of disappointment and discouragement, because they will not ever be far away. Because as you seek God with all your heart, you can be sure the devil will not be far away from you, trying to bring his discouragement into your heart, trying to trip you up and make you fall, trying to make you believe that as Job was persecuted greatly, there was great despondence even in Job as he went through. Oh, but friend, know this, that as you seek to live for God and you want to walk with Him, He will give you the power to be overcomers. I love that verse in Romans 8. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For He is our great King. He is our great Savior. And the closer that we are to Him, the more He will be able to use us for the extension of His kingdom and for the glory of His name. Friend, if you're here tonight, you're not a believer, well, this message has been directed to those who are Christians. But I don't want to let this time pass. Either you're in the meeting or you're watching online. And let me challenge you and say it's time to get right with God. It is time to repent of your sins and call out unto the Lord. In this sense, as you would seek Him for forgiveness, seek Him for salvation, you'll find that His ear is open unto your cry, and He will save you. For today is the day of gospel grace, and the Lord Jesus is more than willing, and He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our loving Father, we stand in need tonight of a mighty moving of the Holy Spirit upon us. O God, come, I pray, and burn up the chaff. Dear Father, come and use us for Thy way, for the glory of Your Son, for the extension of His kingdom. Lord, I pray this prayer and ask that we as a group of believers, small though we may be, yet, Lord, on fire for God, we will be mighty in the hand of the living God. And Father, we just come and humble ourselves before Thee tonight and pray that You would do that which we can't do ourselves. And Lord, where we have sinned and where we have disappointed and where we have failed, please forgive, Lord, and heal and put us on the right track, the right course. Take away the things that would hinder us from being more profitable, being more faithful. Dear Lord, have mercy on souls that are still unsaved. You know, the ones we have been praying for recently. We again hold each one up by name. Give us, we pray, the joy of speaking to people about their need of Christ, and the joy of leading them to the Savior. We thank Thee for the salvation of Crystal recently. And Lord, we pray that as she's away at this time, You would watch over her and bring her back soon to the house of the Lord here. And we ask, dear Father, for unsaved ones in our families. We pray for household salvation. We pray for the Spirit of God to move in our families, move in every ministry that we're involved with here in our church. Bless the outreach that we have done and that will yet be done in this incoming year. Bless the Sunday school children. Bless, we pray, our day school, the Good News Bible Club. Bless, dear Father, our young people's fellowship and our college and career group. Lord, we hold our youth up to Thee earnestly in prayer tonight. And dear Father, bless them. Bless all of us. And let not a family be unmoved. Let not a family be untouched, Lord, from our body. So part us now, we pray, in Thy fear, with Thy rich blessing, and take us to our homes in safety, and make our homes a Bethel, the house of God. Hear us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' worthy name we ask. Amen.